I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, coming in live in the Bill Ford Sun studio, it is 8 o'clock. Look at that, right on the dot. We're expecting Chipper Jones in about 15, 20 minutes or so. So we will see, we will talk to him. We'll get into the Mets in one set quickly because this kind of piggybacks off what we were just talking about with the Draymond Green. That was the thing, by the way, Al. I was surprised it wasn't covered in the warm-up shows right up your alley.
I didn't see that anywhere.
Maybe it's not true.
It might not be, but I mean, I think Barstool, I think Kevin, KFC put it out there, I think. And then there were a bunch of different places that linked the photo. But even if it's not, I'm sure that's going on somewhere. Debbie and Hazlitt. Good morning, Debbie. How are you?
Good morning, Jerry. I'm good.
What's up?
I'm calling about the marijuana situation. I was at a St. Patrick's Day parade in Highlands, and the pot was everywhere, walking the street.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a cop, you know, out in the street directing traffic and stuff, and I asked him. I said, what is the law about this? And he told me it's a gray area.
Yeah.
They don't know what to do about it.
Mm. Yeah.
And that, you know, I said, so what are you going to do? Wait for something serious to happen to people before they decide what's legal and what's not legal? And
yeah, I don't see, like, but even you, like I'm not even sure what the law is, to be quite honest. I feel like it's changed 6 times in the last year. Is it medicinal? Is it recreational? Can you walk up and buy it? Do you need a prescription? I know places opened. Al, you were going to buy some for your vacation and you didn't?
Yeah, I didn't. I've never had pot, but I was going to try some because it's legal now, and then I chickened out.
If you were to do it, because I'm in the same boat, Al, would you?
Thanks, Debbie.
Like, how would you go, gummies?
I think I'd go gummies because I don't even know how to smoke. It'd be embarrassing.
Right.
But even to her point, though, well, you've seen it on TV. I mean, it's...
No, it's different.
No, it's not actually.
Yeah, it's different than seeing it and actually doing it.
No, but you actually do what you
say. Like, I feel like I've tried to smoke a cigar before and I couldn't do it. Like, I don't know what I'm...
I couldn't smoke a cigar.
But either. The weed, you suck in, hold it for a moment, and blow it out.
I thought you didn't do it before.
I didn't. I have plenty of friends that do it often.
I did not have sex with that woman. I think you did.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you did.
I did not. I am not a weed person.
Seem to know an awful lot about
it. Not a weed person. Not interested because I think it stinks.
Would you do a gummy? Yeah, it does smell weird.
A gummy I have tried.
Of weed?
Yeah.
What are we doing?
You said smoke weed. I've never smoked a joint. I've never done that. Have I had a gummy? Yes, I had a gummy once.
Scoes, have you?
Yeah, I do not react well to marijuana.
Okay.
Hyper paranoia. I've done it, but it's been years and years.
I can see that.
it's a bad...
See, that's what I'm worried about. Like,
yeah.
What, can you imagine me on that? Like, I'm wired and nuts to begin with.
Yeah. You see, and I'm the opposite. And yet
right.
I freak
so it might calm
out.
You down, whereas it freaks him out. Certainly possible.
Mellow cell.
I had a gummy once. There was zero of nothing. I almost felt like it was a gummy bear.
Okay.
And then I had a brownie once. That had an effect that I didn't care for. And I'm good.
I have gone so long now without that it's just like, why
you're right.
Bother? But there is a part of me that is curious, especially now to Al's point that it's legal. And not that I'm above, you know, it needs to all be legal for me to do it, but it just was never something that was, you know, say, no drugs, all this stuff was always painted in such a negative, bad light that I was never enticed to do it. But now I am intrigued, or at least curious to see, what's a little
maybe you here? And Al can have a weed party. Sal and Al's weed party.
For digital.
Perfect. There you go.
Do a little podcast.
Ronnie and Elizabeth, good morning. What's up?
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Talking about the marijuana.
Yeah.
Areas that we're uncertain about.
Okay.
You there?
Yeah, go for it.
What are you talking about?
I'm listening.
All right. Well, it's simple. Whatever you do with alcohol, you can pretty much do with the marijuana. You can't drive with it. You can't be under the influence of it. Can you be on the streets with it? That depends where. You can't be in a school area. You can't be in a public park. You could be on your front porch. You could be in your front of your house. You
right.
Could be in your driveway. You could have it on you in your car, but it can't be. You can't be under the influence.
And right. is that for both New York and New Jersey?
Well, New York, I don't know, because they just started making it legal. I studied more of the Jersey's laws right. because they were going to be legalized first.
Right.
Recreationally is legal. They like to call it adult use marijuana as opposed to being, you know, recreational.
Adult use.
You don't need a prescription. Sorry?
No, adult use. Okay.
Yeah, adult use. You know, the dispensaries, you walk in, you show them your ID. Just verification thing, no big deal. And you tell them what you want.
Could
just,
people grow it? Like, do you know, Jer, if people could grow
I
it?
I think you're allowed a certain amount.
Okay.
I think.
I believe you can grow up to like six stalks or six plants, something like that.
Okay, yes, I will take your word for it, Ronnie. We appreciate it. I don't know, but I do know you're allowed to grow a little bit of it. One more on this, and then we'll move on. Tim in Long Beach. Tim, good morning. How are you?
All right, guys. How you doing today?
Good.
What's up, Tim?
All right. First time, long time for both of you, Sal. Really love you, man, but I can't believe that you've never smoked a joint in your life. This is driving me crazy right now.
Why? What's
Well, at least the experience, one puff of a joint. How could you never have done that before? It's amazing.
Yeah.
Just haven't.
I don't know. Never happened.
I wanted to follow up. Yeah, it is legal in New York, following the last gentleman's points. You can smoke in public anywhere. You can smoke a cigarette. You can smoke a joint, so it is legal in this state, at least. I'm recently in California, a place where it is legal, and you can't smoke in public there. So it's a little more relaxed here in New York, actually.
Too many rules.
That's what I mean. Shouldn't it just be? Can we have uniform rules at least? I mean,
my God.
Well, it's the same thing with the masks and the vaccine. When that was going on, like, just make one rule, please, that we could all try to follow here. Not that everybody would follow, but at least it makes it easier. And there's a difference between New Jersey and New York. I could gamble in New Jersey. I can't do so in New York. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
If I would have told you in 2010 that within a year or so, we're going to have sports betting legal and weed legal, would you have believed that?
In 2010?
Yeah, years ago, because there was a lot of momentum towards this a few years ago. I mean, if you go back a decade, would you have ever thought we got to the point that all of this is legal?
Probably not.
Like, you can basically, think about this, especially like the guy said, you can legally put a chair in your driveway, smoke a joint, place a bet, shotgun a beer.
Right. Life is good. Yes, we've come a long way. Yeah. But you have to be wearing a mask. No, I'm just kidding.
No, not in your driveway, you don't.
No,
it's bizarre, though.
It's crazy. Well, I want gambling to get legal in New York for all things. Are there only certain things you could gamble in New York now? Or
I thought it was legal now.
It is fully?
I thought it was.
Oh, maybe there are just certain things. I know Superbook that I work with or whatever. They're only in Jersey for now, so maybe that's why I was thinking that.
But they probably get the license.
Right, okay. So there you can, and I can walk in. I haven't done it yet, but I can walk into whatever, horse racing place and place a bet on sports.
Is there if they have a sports book, yes.
In New York. I know I can do it in Jersey, obviously.
If they have a sports book. They even have, in Philadelphia, I'm not 100% certain. I went to a Phillies game about a month ago with my younger son. Unless I saw it wrong, it looked like there was a sports book right across the street from Citizens Bank Park. And I think there's a casino now that's right on the other side of the stadium that used to be a hotel that they've converted into a casino. That one guy at the stadium said also had a sports book in there. I don't know that. I didn't go. But that's what it looked like to me.
Are you 100% sure that we can actually bet in New York?
And Washington, attached to the stadium, is a BetMGM sports
book. That's what I think Steve Cohen wants to do, ideally.
At City Field?
City Field? Yeah, I was hearing some of that today.
Am I 100%? No, but I mean, Boomer and Gio are reading those commercials, betting's legal in New York, right, for FanDuel.
Because I remember trying to go on there, and for some reason I would have to, and it's not just Superbook either. Other ones that I would use when I was at my brother-in-law's in Jersey, I could play, do a parlay or whatever. In New York, I'm not sure that I could do that still. I don't know. I mean, I have no idea if it's legal or not.
It is there. You're right, Jerry. Across from Citizens Bank Park, South Philadelphia Race and Sportsbook.
So there it is, right across the street. So that's becoming more and more prevalent then. So Philadelphia has one across the street. Well, I think, I forget, I think the BetMGM one in Washington is attached to the stadium. I'm almost certain
that,
of it.
I mean, that is going to become the norm. Every game that we go to.
Well, I think what would become the norm is what they have, from what I understand, in Europe, where you can actually bet in stadium as well, like inside. I don't mean just attached to the stadium, but like you can do things while you're sitting at your seat. Now, can you do that now? Like if I go to MetLife Stadium, I don't know if anybody knows this. If I go to MetLife Stadium and I'm at a Giant or a Jet game, can I make wagers as the game is going on if I have my BetMGM app or a FanDuel app open? Right, we're in Jersey. You probably can, right?
I would think so, yeah.
Right, and even the Meadowlands has that sports book right there as well.
That's what I know.
That's right.
I'm familiar with that. Obviously, you could walk up there and place a bet at any time in the window.
Real quick, Steve in Long Island, I promised the last one on weed. What's up, Steve?
Jerry, you guys got to get on the train. Al, I'm walking my dog right now at 11:10, smoking a blunt, listening to you guys on the Odyssey. Greatest thing in the world.
That's a great endorsement for the Odyssey app, and I love it, Steve. I'm walking my dog, smoking a blunt, and listening to you guys on the free Odyssey app. Absolutely.
But meanwhile, if the guy said I was having a beer right now, I'd be like, what a loser.
You're right. It's a different thought. No one drinks before 11 a.m., but you can. Well, but you smoke cigarettes usually the first thing you do when you wake up, coffee, cigarette. So I think it's probably a little bit different, although it's still gross. I think that's pretty much commonplace.
Let me just, before we break real quick, I just want to try to clarify this. I'm getting texts from Zoo. FanDuel is legal in New York, and then I get a text from BT. Some of his New York guys have to place bets when they cross the lines into Jersey. So that's what I'm saying.
I think it depends on which book has the license.
So there are some that have a license in New York.
That would be my guess.
That's an
educated guess.
Okay.
Which makes sense to me. But we'll see.
It's either legal or it's not. I mean, I one way or another, I would hope that everybody could get a license there eventually. But,
all right, quick. Yeah, pay for it. Quick break. We're hoping to have Chipper Jones on the other side. We shall see. And then CeeLo coming up later in the hour as well.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Salatana, Jerry Recco in for Boomer and Geo on this Tuesday morning. So, Mets and Braves, big four-game series. Who better to get the perspective from the Atlanta Braves, Jerry? The World Series champion Atlanta Braves, who is not a homer like a lot of those people in Atlanta are. Then Chipper Jones. So I thought about it. I remember I had Chipper on years ago when I was down in the minors at OR after reading his book, which, by the way, is a great book. Ball Player by Chipper Jones. Texted him. He was nice enough to get back to me. Now, Chipper, I did notice you didn't return my text until the Braves were up 3-0 saying that you would come on. But I do appreciate you coming on this morning.
It's my pleasure. It's good to be on with you, Sal. And that was a total coincidence because I didn't watch one pitch of the game last night.
And me neither, in full disclosure. I didn't want to see that slop. But anyway, Chipper, one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on, I saw you did a podcast recently. And, you know, I've been getting into it with the Atlanta media because I said the Mets were going to win the division early on in the year, and they think that I'm a homer. Meanwhile, I'd rip the Mets more than anybody. But the reason is because I thought the Mets were a legitimately better team. Not to knock the Braves, but I thought the Mets were better. How do you see the National League East when you compare the two ball clubs with the Mets and your Braves?
Well, I think the best team in the division has been the Mets. And quite honestly, you take my obvious bias out of it and try and be the ESPN analyst that I was a couple of years ago. And, you know, watching these two teams play each other, the New York Mets have been a better ball club, you know, up until this point. They've done everything right. They don't necessarily hit the ball out of the ballpark that much, but they make pitchers work. They get them up around 90 or 100 pitches after four or five innings, just making them sweat, putting pressure on them. And then, you know, obviously a couple of Hall of Famers at the top end of the rotation. Their closer has been lights out. Edwin Diaz has been lights out this year, and it's always nice when you can shorten games to, you know, 7, 8, 9 innings. And man, the Mets have been very, very impressive. I said it earlier this week on another interview that I think the two best teams in baseball right now are the New York Mets and the Houston Astros. And if they continue to do the things that they've been doing up until this point, they're going to go pretty deep into the postseason.
When you mentioned the possible Hall of Famers at the top of the rotation, so take me inside the visiting clubhouse. You see the schedule, you see a four-game set coming up, and you see that you're going to see both Scherzer and DeGrom. What is the thought process when you know you're going to get those two guys in a series?
You better win the first two. You know, I mean, that's the kind of pressure that they put on you, knowing that you got those two Hall of Famers, you know, on Wednesday and Thursday. The Braves did a really good job last night of jumping out early and really kind of setting the tone, which is something that the Mets have done a great job of doing against the Braves up until this point. We're just going to have to see how the rest of it goes. Obviously, the Braves feel pretty good having the remaining six head-to-head against the Mets at home. But the fact of the matter is we don't know what's going to happen, guys. I mean, up until this point last year, the Braves were a 500 ball club and they caught lightning in a bottle and nobody could beat them, you know, for the last 2 months of the season. So we still got 40, 45 games left, a lot of baseball left. I said that the Braves had to get this down, in the 3.5 to 4.5 games back at the end of this week. We'll see how that ends up.
How about, Chipper, the difference in the two teams, the way that they're built? You mentioned the Braves, you know, they hit homers, but they strike out a lot. And there's been a lot of, you know, the Phillies have whined about it. Spencer Strider last week whining about the Mets, saying that they're lucky with putting the ball in play, you know, the bloop base hits. How do you feel about the way that the Mets have been built compared to the Braves? And do you believe that Mets offense can be sustained being a team that puts the ball in play?
I think you're pretty much who you are at this point in the season. And, you know, the Mets, have the second or third best record in baseball, man. Look, I'm old school. I don't like fast pitch softball games. I don't like home runs and strikeouts. I like playing the game. I like putting the ball in play. I like guys with speed. I like people who can put pressure on defenses. The Mets do all that. You know, and it's really a fun. I haven't seen them play a ton this year. You know, truth be told, but they're a fun team to watch because they make you work, and good teams make you work. Like those old Yankee teams back in the 90s, man, they didn't strike out 8, 10, 12, 14 times in a game. They struck out 4 or 5 times, and they made you throw pitches, and they made you play 4-hour games. It was just. It was so frustrating to play him, and I see a lot of similarities in that Mets club.
You know, it's amazing. Number one, I cannot believe, I just pulled up your stats. I can't believe it's 10 years since your last year. That is absurd to me. Also, the fact, looking at your stats, you never struck out 100 times one time in your career, which is fascinating, which leads me to this question, and you just kind of alluded to it. How different is the game from the minute you walked away to where it is now?
Oh, there's a big difference. There's a big difference in, you know, the fundamentals or lack thereof nowadays. I mean, there's no more sacrifice bunting. There's no more hit and runs. There's no more hitting behind a runner. A runner at second base with less than two outs. It's drop the back shoulder and let's see how far I can launch it, you know. And you know, a lot of that is GM-driven. Those guys, they want guys that hit the ball in the ballpark and get on base. So if you walk at all, GMs are going to love you, you know. And it's different, you know. Everybody, I may have faced maybe six or eight guys my entire career that threw 100 miles an hour. Now there's like three or four in every bullpen, not to mention Sandy Alcantara, DeGrom, Syndergaard. These guys are throwing 100 miles an hour in the seventh inning, eighth inning. You know, I mean, it's mind-boggling to me how bigger, faster, stronger we were than the generation before us, and the guys now are bigger, faster, stronger than we were. It would have been I swung a 35-inch, 34-ounce bat. I would have probably had to come down a couple ounces just to be able to get the bat head around on some of the guys that are throwing in this day and age.
Well said. I need you to hang on for 20 seconds because we got to hit this one thing.
These
otherwise, you're
Yankee
in trouble.
Tickets.
Weird timing. We know Chipper Jones with us. It is a Jersey Mike's Yankees box office blitz. Pair of field level tickets to see the Bombers against Toronto at the stadium this Sunday, August 21st. Right now, be caller number 7-866-540-WFAN, 866-540-9326 for your chance to win. All from Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees box office blitz and the fan.
Chipper, the thing that... Get that box office blitz out of here. We're talking to Chipper Jones, for goodness sake. You know, I was thinking about it. I don't know if I'm more mad at you for all the pain you caused me as a Mets fan or for you guys losing in 96 and 99 to the Yanks. What sticks with you from... which one? 96 or 99 more so in the World Series?
Oh, definitely 96. I get asked that question so many times. And I really felt like 96, you know, we fell down 3-1 to the Cardinals and we came back and beat them to get to the World Series. I mean, we were hot coming in. We outscored them like, I don't know, like 30-something to 3 in the last three games of that series. Then we go up and we thump the Yankees in games 1 and 2. I'm in my second year in the big leagues. I'm about to win my second, you know, world championship. And then all of a sudden, it was like the rug got pulled out from under us. David Cohn throws a gem at us in game 3. You know, we've got the big lead on Kenny Rogers in game 4. And, you know, Wohlers throws the slider to Leyritz that, you know, hits out of the ballpark. And that completely changed, you know, everything in that series. We had a great pitcher's duel between Pettitte and Smoltz in game 5, and the catch that O'Neill makes on Louis Polonia in right center to end the game off. Well, I mean, it was just, it was like everything that we tried to do, the Yankees had an answer for, beginning with the start of game 3. And that's the one that really sticks, you know, is the burr up under my saddle, because I really felt like we had the better ball club, you know, that particular year. In 99, we were not even in the same class with the Yankees. I mean, I have never played against a team that was so dominant. Mm. I think, you know, we go up in game 1. I think I hit a home run in the fourth inning off Duque to put us up 1-0. We took that 1-0 lead into the seventh or eighth with Maddox on the mound. They score 4, and that series was over. I mean, I don't think we led again. Mm. You know, the whole entire series. So they were much better than us that year, but 96 is the one that kind of sticks in my craw.
Chipper Jones with us. I know you're playing golf in a moment, so this is the last one for me. And this is more just a general baseball question, because you talk about how much better they were. And I don't know how much you're watching the Yankees or baseball this year, but the Yankees were 40 games over 500 this year. They were dominating. And now they've gone through a stretch in 6 weeks where they look bad. Not average, not good, but bad. How delicate is it in that clubhouse when you've everything is coming to you easy and all of a sudden you can't do anything right? How hard is it to flip the switch and try and get back to where you were?
It's not easy to flip the switch. You can't determine when you're going to be hot during the season or when you're going to go through a slump. It's just one of those things. You hope that you're peaking at the right time. But, man, certainly the Yankees got off to an unbelievable start. I mean, there was talk about them winning 115, 120 games at one point. Judge is by far the runaway MVP in the American League. You could mail it to him right now. They've just been riding his coattails all year. And, you know, at some point, people are going to stop pitching to him. They're going to make other people beat them. And that combined with the fact that, you know, some starters have struggled here and there. It's hard to go through 162 game schedule and dominate every single day. You're going to go through peaks and valleys, ebbs and flows. And, you know, I guarantee you Aaron Boone would say, hey, I'm glad we're going through it right now. We've built up a big lead. And hopefully, you know, we catch our second wind here at the end of August and September and carry it on into October.
You know, Chipper, it's been a while. I was thinking about because the Mets and Braves kind of have a rivalry renewed, but really, since you left, I mean, 99, 2000, 2001, the Mets and Braves have not really been rivals because it's been, you know, the Braves mostly have been up and the Mets have been down. But when the Mets were good, the Braves weren't. It's fun to have this rivalry renewed. I mean, I wish as you were out there so I could boo you and start chanting Larry. That's what I wish was happening. We're missing that from 20 years ago.
Oh, man, I get chill bumps every time I hear that. You know, Chipper, you suck, you know, I wake up, you know, with a smile on my face whenever I dream about that. But you're right, it is better, especially in the East. And you're talking about a division that could rival anybody's, any division in baseball. When you talk about the turnaround that the Phillies have made, obviously the Mets are 35, 40 games over 500. The Braves are 25 games over 500. I mean, this is a very competitive division. You go down to Miami and face Sandy Alcantara, you better bring your A game. I mean, they got some pitching for you down there in Miami. So it's a really good division. The thing that has separated the New York Mets from the Braves is that they have dominated the National League East. They are 14-0-2 in series against the National League East teams. That is unheard of, right? That is unheard of to dominate a division the way that they have. The fact that the Braves are only 4.5 games back is a testament to how good they are. So it's going to be fun. I can't wait. I hope these guys get together in the postseason because that's going to bring back some unbelievable memories.
Oh, that'll be great. What do you got on the foursome today, Chipper? And we appreciate the time. Thanks so much. John Rocker, a part of that foursome you got going on down there?
Nah, I lost his number at all.
I love you, Chipper. You're the man. I hated that guy.
Chipper, thanks, man.
Usually Smoltz and I play together. I'll tell him you guys said hello.
Yes, please do. Chipper, you're the man. Thanks so much for your time. We appreciate it.
My pleasure, guys. Y'all be good.
And isn't he great? And fun. I will tell you, this is true. On my honeymoon, and I always said this, the best part of my honeymoon was that I... Yeah.
But you got to stop talking, dude.
No, listen.
This is not going to end well.
My wife's watching. Hi, honey. Best part of my honeymoon was that I read like 3 books. And one of them was that I went to... There was other stuff in there, too, but the books was great. One of them was I went to the local bookshop after I had finished the books that I brought, and I bought Chipper Jones' new book. Phenomenal. Like, if you are a baseball fan, it is a must read. Yeah, it's old school. I mean, he's just an old, you heard him. He's an old school guy. Plus the Mets rivalry, the Yankees World Series. There's so much in there, so it's a great book. But isn't he a great dude?
Yes, we're wonderful. So you didn't realize it's 8:32 and not 6:32.
What's the difference?
Wow. Hey, 6:30, I think your wife's sleeping.
Oh, yeah, no, she's watching. She already told me to move the mic over a little. Hi, honey. The Chipper Jones part. I already told Piazza I loved him more than her. I love the Chipper Jones
part. Of my honeymoon was the Chipper Jones book.
It was all the books I got to read. I read like 3 books on the honeymoon. It was great.
Al hasn't read 3 books in 30 years.
I'm all for reading books. I like reading sports books, but I don't know that I'd be leading with that when I'm talking about the honeymoon.
How about Chipper? I lost his number a long time.
That was great.
Oh, man. All right, 8:33, so we got time for CeeLo here, so take it away.
All right, powered by Superbook, now open with better odds and favorable prices. Also brought to you by Winters Bros. For help with your next cleanup or construction project, visit wintersbros.com. We've focused quite a bit on Aaron Hicks' rough night at the stadium. Not just him, though. The Yankees collectively are not hitting. 1 run over their last 22 innings, and if you take away Isaiah Kiner-Falefa from Saturday, Aaron Judge is the last Yankee to drive in a run. That was in the 3rd inning at Fenway on Friday night. Judge did come to the plate in the 8th on Monday. 1-0 game with the Rays with a runner aboard.
Here's the 1-2. A ground ball toward the middle. Grab by Wall. Flip the short one on the first. Double play. A 6-4-3 DP. And there are 2 outs and no one on.
That's what you were alluding to before, the big spot there.
Yeah. Right. And again,
hit it hard right at the shortstop.
Not that he's going to come through every single time it happens, but that was one where I'm thinking, okay, the damage is done. They're losing, struggling all game long. Here's a spot to make it up. And obviously the double play ended things.
Yep. Rays added 3 more in the 9th for a 4-0 shutout of the Yanks. So back-to-back shutouts suffered. First time since 2016, and it's 4 of them now over the last 9 games. It's gotten to the point in this stretch where Aaron Boone has to speak words because it's his job after these games, but they are just that.
We just got to get some guys on track offensively right now and get guys that should be key contributors contributing like they're capable of.
So basically a complete 180 of what's been going on the last few weeks. And here he is pretty much acknowledging that the words are meaningless.
I can sit here and talk to you about it. We need to go do it. We need to go, you know, Be prepared, walk out there with some swagger and with some confidence and get it done.
Gerrit Cole holding up his end of the bargain the last 2 times out. 13 innings, 1 run allowed, 0 runs of support from the offense. Both losses for the Yanks, obviously, when you don't score. Tough times all around.
It can be a little bit deflating when you are in this situation where you've, you know, like, we're selling out and not getting the results. Yeah, but nobody's going to feel sorry for you. And man, like, baseball's tough.
It can be. Peaks and valleys of 162 games. No DJ LeMahieu again. He's got the inflammation in the foot and the toe, or both, or one or the other. Who the heck knows? He's getting treatment, though, using some orthotics day-to-day. Giancarlo Stanton did track pitches against Frankie Montas during his bullpen.
Stanton! Yeah. You can sit on my face!
Oh, you know? Might take some pressure off the Achilles.
He actually needs 3 or 4 days to get ready for that, I think. He's not there yet.
He's ramping up, and perhaps a rehab assignment later this week or early next week. Luis Severino, bullpen session is first since he went on the IL with the lat strain. Said it's the best he's felt all season. Tonight, you got Nestor Cortez and Jeffrey Springs. Pregame on the Fan, 6:25. It is an Amazon Prime game if you are looking for the TV broadcast. Check this out from Rays TV last night. Listen closely, a little off mic, but notable nonetheless.
Jose Siri is going to be the hitter.
Got to put Siri on sleep mode when you're broadcasting right. A Jose series in the game.
Interesting.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. Announcers. Can you say that again? Somebody in the booth was within shot of the microphone.
Speaking of, did you see in the White Sox game the fan that is yelling to Tony La Russa to pinch run angle at a key spot in the game?
Oh, I saw somebody tweet the video, but I didn't look at it
yet. I'm not saying that that's why he did it. But the guy is sitting like second row.
Yeah, he's close to the dugout.
And you can hear him clear as day. Yeah. Tony! Angle! Pinch run angle!
Get him in there.
And then literally about 5 or 6 seconds later, before a pitch is thrown, La Russa comes lumbering out of the dugout, calls timeout. Hey, Angle, go run.
The guy woke him up and managed
it. That's what I was going to say.
How much is that ticket?
Pretty funny. Hey, check out the video. It's pretty funny, actually.
Not bad. Meantime, the Mets have had their way with the defending champion so far this season, but the Braves did get off to a great start in the opener of a 4-game series down in Georgia.
2-1 hit high in the air to left field by Darnell. Back goes Canna. This ball might go, and it does. A 3-run homer for Travis d'Arnaud, and the Braves have opened up a 13-1 lead with 8 runs here in the sixth inning.
Howie was doing some quick math there. He's like tallying it up in the book.
Pretty good.
On WCBS 880. Carlos Carrasco long gone at that point. He left after two.
Yeah, I was in my REM sleep at that
Left side tightness. You had the 55-minute rain delay in the second mixed in as well, and that pretty much put all of us to bed, the Mets included, as it turned out. 13-1 the final. Three doubles, three RBIs for Ronald Acuna Jr., seventh straight win for the Braves. On the plus side for the Mets, Jeff McNeil had himself a 4-for-4 night, and he scored the Mets' lone run after he let off the top of the fifth with a double, and he scored on an Eduardo Escobar groundout, and Esky right now reduced to just left-handed hitting because of his side issue. So we'll see what happens. Esky, that's what they call him.
I haven't heard that.
Oh, yes, you have.
No.
I have not heard Esky.
Oh, you haven't listened to Buck enough then.
No, I guess
Esky.
Not.
Yeah. That's the only reason I said it. I didn't. I'm not nicknaming the guy.
Anytime I listen to Buck, he's rambling about something that has nothing to do with whatever question.
Well, I love listening to him, though.
Yeah.
Like, I could listen to his pregame and postgame press conferences.
I usually
every day.
Hear the pregame, not the postgame.
Well, that would probably be one.
All right. Okay.
Like, you know, when Escobar was struggling earlier in the season, and then he'd come through with a big hit, he'd give you, Esky's a he's a pro, and yeah. Darren Ruff, a couple of scoreless innings in mop-up duty on 14 pitches, 10 strikes.
Goes to show, just
that's right.
Throw strikes.
Throw it in there.
Never
really. Gave up one hit, two-out single by Robbie Grossman in the eighth. It was the first time in franchise history that a position player pitched two innings for the Mets. So you can put that down.
That was the first time ever?
That's what it says.
Wow.
A little bit of Mets history. Franchise's first position player two scoreless innings.
Oh, okay.
That was the distinction. Not two innings, two scoreless innings. So thank you for checking me on that, Sal. I appreciate it. Earlier in the month, so more from this Angels-Mariners game. I know we did that last hour, but I did not realize this. I saw somebody allude to this, and I thought that I had read the scoreboard was incorrect. Turns out it was the other way around. So remember we had the Yordan Alvarez four-strike hit bat earlier in the month or late last month?
I remember.
Last night, Jerry's chair.
There's
something about that chair, the boomer chair. You just check out.
Where is Jerry right there? Yeah.
So last night, you had a three-pitch walk.
What'd he say?
In this game.
What's that?
What'd he say?
There was a three-pitch walk in this
game. Well, I was reminding you how you had the four-strike at bat with Yordan Alvarez.
I saw that last week, and no one realized it. I know.
Last night in the Angels-Mariners game, in that inning before the chaos ensued with the Angels in the field.
I was just noticing the taxes are going up this year.
Got it.
See, there you go. I knew so well.
What, in Hazlitt?
No.
Federal?
I'm joking. I'm reading about Tiger Woods.
Ratings on democratsuck.com.
That's in the frequently visited websites on that computer.
That is not what I was reading about Tiger Woods going in for this meeting. That's all.
Yes, I was going to bring that up as well. Last hour we ran out of time.
Yes.
Anyway, a three-pitch walk for the Mariners. Again, the umpire had initially said 2-2, then he puts up the 3-1 sign. He screwed up. Aaron Loop's on the mound. He doesn't notice it.
It's amazing.
The catcher doesn't notice it. You guys, you're the battery. It's two strikes on the batter.
Yeah.
How could you not realize that?
It happened. You've coached a long time. It does happen, but it shouldn't happen at that level.
There used to be arguments about counts all the time when I was assistant coaching in high school games. Yeah. Like, somebody on the bench is keeping a book or a chart or something.
Somebody's got to be paying attention somewhere.
I mean, it just shows how checked out the Angels are right now. Exactly.
It brings me back to those days, but I know we talk about it a lot, but it is funny. Like at Columbia, even if you pay attention to watching some of the people during a broadcast,
oh, it happens.
You can
all the time.
Yeah, it happens all the time.
They repeat each other.
Jerry gives the play-by-play. I come in and say, oh, what a great run right there. If you see the stiff arm, what a strong move. Jerry's like, and yay, stiff arm him as well. A strong move. I'm like,
I just said. I catch that. John and Susan have that together
a lot.
It
happens all the time.
Susan makes a point. John, by the way, Susan.
Whoops.
By the way, Susan is the best at knowing when a ball is a home run or not. Like, you know immediately with her, it's gone. Everybody else is a fly ball, whatever. If she doesn't give you the, it's not gone.
Right.
She's like, 100 for 100.
You did hear. It's not as easy as people think. Justin Shackle called a home run that wasn't a home run last week.
I know, I didn't hear that.
Oh, yeah. That oh, was... this one's long gone.
Wait.
That was in Seattle, right?
Yeah. He said it was long gone.
It was Monday night because we played it Tuesday morning at Jet Camp.
I love Shaq. He's a friend.
He did a great. He was really good.
He's very good.
But my point is, we all have fun with Judge. It's hard.
Oh yeah.
That ball off the bat sometimes looks like it's hit a country mile.
Wasn't it Judge?
It was Judge.
And now Judge in that ballpark has hit some moonshots too. So when you see it off the bat, you think, "Oh, here we go again." Second deck.
How do you pull it back? It's long gone.
Let me see if it's still.
Well, it should be. It was last Monday night.
That's my point to giving Susan credit because she doesn't miss.
And she knows.
Anytime I hear the, it's gone. Without a fail.
Yeah.
Okay.
I got it. It's hard to do. I mean, you've been at the ballpark and you see them take batting practice. You're like, damn, look at that. Wow. That's in front of the warning track.
Oh, no. I don't envy that position at all. By the way, I watched more of The Captain yesterday.
Yes.
Two more episodes I caught up on it. And Susan was in a lot. It was where Jeter was saying that he...
You're going to tell her when he was going to retire.
Yeah, that was
awesome, by the way.
And
she missed the call.
She missed the call, and so did Hal screen the call and never called him back.
Because he didn't know his number.
So he goes to Facebook and breaks it on his own?
Yes.
Crazy.
But yeah, Susan was his first call. Hal, I guess, was the second call. And Hal didn't have his number stored in his phone.
Right.
How is that possible?
He's like, I got busy. I never listened to the message. Yeah.
Some random number. It's Derek Jeter. By the way, I remember from, the media standpoint or whatever, how the contract played out and was kind of ugly. But you don't know the inside until you get it from Jeter. Like, that was nasty.
Yes, it was. And he referenced even the other night on the K-Rod thing, he even referenced going to arbitration. Like, it's a weird spot because they're telling you how much you suck.
Yeah.
And you're telling them how you deserve more.
Who do you want instead? Who's the guy in cash? And was like, Hanley Ramirez.
That was, I think, the contract negotiation.
Well,
the arbitration
was
before he signed his big deal.
I'm just saying, he was talking about all the different types of contract issues
as
when you realize, yes, it's a game. Yes, I love playing it, but this is a business for them.
And then when he became owner of the Marlins, he got the...
He really understood.
God, I couldn't love him enough, though. Everything about him. Yeah. We talk about... And look, I'm ripping on Stanton. Rightfully so. I'm coming off watching Jeter playing with basically a broken ankle.
Yeah.
And he's going out there until he actually does break it in the playoffs. And yet Stanton's like, I need 3 or 4 days to heal my calf, whatever it is. I mean, come on, dude.
And he tells me I'm done. So we'll play Shackle for you next hour.
I'm sorry.
That's fine. Yeah, we're doing it's like a Carton and Roberts segment right here with no breaks.
Yeah, right.
We just run right through them. All right, Chris, we'll see you next hour.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, 10 in front of 9. It is Sal and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo. A lot of baseball this morning, obviously. And we'll get back to that at 9 o'clock. I wanted just a couple of minutes on this Tiger Woods thing. And I don't want to bore everybody about LIV Golf or anything, but I just think it's notable because Tiger is involved. You've got the PGA Tour is having a player meeting today in regards to LIV Golf and what's going on and what's not happening, as you know. Now, Tiger's been one. I mean, Boomer said, I think, the other day or last week that there's a rumor out there that LIV, like, offered Tiger
a billion.
Close to. And he said no. And I mean, he's the guy. He's worth $1 billion, but, you know, good for him. And he's squarely on the PGA's tour side. So, Alum Shipnuck.
What?
Can you please...
dump.
Alan Shipnuck. He's the one who had the Phil Mickelson story.
He's like the caller for a second. What time is it?
So he's the one writing the book about Phil. All right. So he tweeted out that he is hearing with this meeting today. Supposedly, this is his Twitter page. Supposedly.
Who is this now, Jerry?
Just trying to move on. It's crazy.
Alan Shipnuck. All right. Are we good? He said,
"You want to try that again?
No, yeah. What are you, Mike? All right. Who was that in relation to? Cohen? Who was that? Mink?
Mink, yeah.
That was the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Hockey Hall of Bleep at a Hockey Hall of Fame. Anyway.
So he wrote, here it goes. Supposedly, everything is on the table for this meeting, from major championship boycotts to Monahan, he's the commissioner, his future to a larger compromise, and Tiger expected to fly in to provide counsel, whatever. Interesting, because it seems like, I would guess, that's their main focus. Take your cue from Tiger. I mean, clearly Rory McIlroy has been the guy that has stood up and denounced, you know, the LIV Golf and the PGA Tour is where you want it to be, and a lot of guys have gone, but not the younger talent. I mean, yes, Bryson DeChambeau, Dustin Johnson, there's a couple of them for sure, but it's really been more of the older players, I would say, that have gone there. But it's still, with the money they are doling out, it is still a threat. I have said all along that I thought the PGA Tour handled this terribly.
Right.
Like, I really thought they could have coexisted, where you could have given your players, let's say, a 6-match exemption. You want to go play 6 times, go for it. But you're going to be under contract. You owe us whatever the number is. Maybe you have different, you owe us 15 events.
See,
you owe us 20
events.
I would
go the other way on that. Now,
what they're doing. They are going the other way, where if you basically you go there, you're not playing for us anymore.
Correct. That's what I would do. Now, is that because the
But why?
Because from the majors aren't the majors.
The majors are a little different. So the British Open is run by the RNA in Europe. That's not here. That's not the PGA Tour.
So that's
the Royal and Ancient.
Okay.
The Masters is run by the Masters. That is not a PGA.
So that has nothing to do with
that. Is their own event. They can do whatever the hell they please. That's their event. The PGA Championship is run by the players, essentially. And I'm missing one. Oh, and the U.S. Open, of course. So
and that's
we're talking
who?
About PGA Tour events. So if you
then it's a different story. I was under the assumption that the majors.
Well, the majors is all part of it for sure. But if you're Commissioner Monahan, I just think you could have done this in a way that didn't draw this hard line in the sand. Because be careful what happens here. I mean, the money is absurd. It really is in a lot of ways. And I'm not getting into the whole...
Well, if I'm a player, let me dumb it down for me because I don't know the whole thing. If I'm a player and I'm getting offered millions more to go play for LIV and I could still play in all the majors, what do I care? Why do I care about
PGA? And that's what they're trying. That's why, to me, what I would have done was that if you want to go play there, that's fine, but we got to cap you at a certain number, and you have to commit to a certain number here. Because
right, but what are they getting paid to perform at LIV for every tournament?
Yeah, you're getting paid. I mean, you're getting automatic payments and guaranteed money. Whereas the PGA Tour is not guaranteed money. Like, you've got guys that will drive. I'm not talking about the top players that have private jets and, you know, fly from place to place. You have tour players that drive from event to event, and if they don't make the cut and don't play Saturday and Sunday. Make zero.
So let me ask you, you're a golfer. If I'm LIV and I say I'm going to give you $500 million, whatever it is, $200 million, you cannot play PGA.
I don't think LIV cares.
Right, they don't care. But if I'm LIV and I'm trying to put PGA under, and I'm saying, okay, well, you come play for me, I'm going to give you guaranteed X amount of money, and you could still play in the 4 majors. Why would you? I mean, what would you do? You could say, oh, no, I want to play in the PGA Tour.
Well, because you do have guys that want to play both.
That's my point. Like, there was a way to do that. Well, I mean, the LIV Tour isn't every week. The PGA Tour is every weekend, essentially. Not every weekend, but it's got to be, my God. The PGA Tour's got to have events starting in January in Hawaii that go all the way up through, I don't think it's through October, but it's through September. It's probably through mid-October.
All right, so let me ask you, what's the harm from either the PGA standpoint or the fan standpoint if players go play at LIV? Like, what's the name? Can Dustin Johnson or whoever plays with LIV, can they, or DeChambeau, can they still play on the PGA
Tour? No, that's what I'm saying.
But they can play in the majors.
That's what's going to be. We don't know what the Masters is going to do. I think the British Open, I think they're going to go the way of the PGA Tour. If you're on LIV, I don't think they're going to let you play. I don't know. I'm not 100% certain of that.
I guess my point is the only thing that the PGA or golf outside of LIV can hold as a bargaining chip against LIV would be the majors, right?
Correct. That would be a big deal. But now it's a money thing and legacy and all that. What's more important to you? So you said dumb it down. So I'll dumb it down. Let's say for poops and giggles, you make $100,000 a year.
Right.
And a betting website comes to you.
Right.
And they offer you.
Oh, you mean like this is me in real life, not a golf situation?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And they offer you $750,000 a year guaranteed for the next 4 years.
So Jerry, I got to go. I'll see you later. I mean, what do you mean?
Goodbye.
How much did you say?
$750,000.
Guaranteed for how many years?
4 years. They guarantee you $3 million over the next 4 years.
Of course.
And right now you're making, let's say, between $80,000 and $100,000 a year.
How could you not take that?
So you've got guys.
What was that one? I missed that.
That was JJ.
Oh.
You've got guys that they're guaranteeing to play for the next handful of years. $100 million. $200 million.
Right, but you're also, the difference in the hypothetical situation that you painted for me is that those players may have something to lose by not partaking in the major, right? Potentially.
Okay. I mean, sure, but I mean, you could theoretically, and I know this is, it's a simplistic way of thinking about it, but it's really the only way I can think about it for the comparison. If you're here at the Fan,
mm-hmm.
and you're really making a name for yourself, you've been doing overnights, and you've been here a long time, you've been doing overnights, and it's very possible that you could be the next afternoon drive host, the next morning host, the next whatever it might
because
you're on a high trajectory.
Right.
But you decide to take a large
raise. This hypothetical seems to be hitting too close to home here for me, Jared.
Because I don't think people... I think when you put it in these terms, I think it opens your eyes a little bit more. So you could go be, no offense to people that do things that people don't listen to,
but
you could go be forgotten, but be taken care of for the rest of your life financially. And you're still enough already, Eddie, Jesus. But you're financially set.
And you're healthy.
And you're still doing what you love.
I think
it's just not as important.
I think you get to a point. Yeah, but what's the equivalent to the majors? What, the legacy or the name that you made?
I would have to say that you at the end, after a 30-year career, you meant something and you're a name. You're a name etched in New York City radio history.
That does mean something. That does mean something to me, but it does mean something to me, but I don't know about as much as 750.
Here's an example. All right, and then we gotta take a break.
Yeah.
Quick example. The Sal Licata podcast starts on Monday, funded by one of these betting sites.
Yeah, Superbook.
$700,000 a year, 4 years guaranteed. You're never heard from again.
Goodbye.
Right.
You mean never heard from again as far as having, like, being in public?
Yeah, no one really hears you anymore. You're really just another person in the crowd, but you've got a podcast someone's paying you a fortune for.
Yeah, I think that you have
$2.8 million guaranteed 4 years.
How do you not take that? I'd be an idiot not to take that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world.
Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.